It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
You and I were talking this week, and you asked if I'd watched The Bachelor on TV.
I'm going to guess that you don't.
We were talking about how that unrealistic setup on that show deals with a number of people being rejected on a weekly basis, and the thing is, it's what people want to see.
It is hard to watch how painful it is for some of those women who get rejected every week. And I'm thinking they don't even know the guy and they're having intense reactions. Even though the show is based on a ridiculous concept of dating multiple people at one time. I mean, how many people do that? Hopefully none of you listening do that. I think one of the reasons that it's viewed is because it's all about the struggle of finding true love and the rejection that comes along with that along the way. I know it's not realistic, and I know this isn't how you do intimate relationships, but we all in the audience can relate to that pain of being rejected.
Right. We could also relate to the fact that rejection is never easy.
It isn't. Even when you see it coming, I think of the times when I know it's coming, but the experience of it is hard. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people watch that show, frankly, because that rejection part is the part we relate to. And that's common in so many of our relationships. We've all been rejected at some point in our lives. Maybe it's a current job or an interview that we're going for, or maybe a family member doesn't like us, even a church member who doesn't like us. In all of those situations, there is pain, and it's not an easy thing to recover from. Most of us need a little bit of healing after we go through a rejection.
This takes me back to the transition from high school to college. I'd been dating this girl for more than a year. We were in such a fantastic relationship, you know, young kids, 18 years old, and got to college, and she was still back home, and out of nowhere, she called and said, "This is not for me anymore," and I did not understand. That took a while to get over.
Yeah, I bet. So it was pretty painful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really, really
Yeah, I had one of those, too, those early love relationships where I was the girl, in your case. I was the girl who did not want to be with a guy. What got me was that he got kind of scary after I broke it off with him. He got really depressed. And at one point, somebody told me he was suicidal. And I didn't want to be responsible for that kind of pain, but those kind of things happen. Now, companies are even dealing with this.
Right.
You look at companies that are downsizing like crazy. Think about all the people who are laid off of jobs when that employer who has to go in and say, "I'm so sorry, but we don't need you anymore," and goodbye. That's tough. And then we have a lot of unhealthy friendships that have to be broken off. Even friendships where you're thinking, this is a good thing for me not to be with this person anymore because they're kind of toxic.
Right.
It still is hard, and there's a lot of pain involved with that. Sometimes you can be the one causing the pain, and other times you're on the receiving end of that.
That's right. And in those cases, you're the one witnessing the pain of rejection, and that can be tough. And what about that? We don't want to think about the person who's doing the rejecting.
I like the idea you're bringing up because you're talking about when you witness rejection. It's like if you witness trauma, you may not be the one experiencing it, but you're witnessing it.
Right.
Well, the research shows that rejection triggers that same pathway in the brain that's activated when we feel physical pain. And some of those same pathways are triggered when we witness other people experiencing social rejection. So think of all of us watching The Bachelor.
Painful.
We're getting triggered. We are. We're getting triggered in our brains. Being the one to deliver the bad news of a job loss, a breakup, whatever, it does create an emotional response in our brains.
Do you think that's why when we see someone on stage and they do something that is so embarrassing?
You feel it.
Right.
Yeah, your brain is reacting to that. It's exactly what that research is showing. Yeah. There's a little good news on that. We're wired to feel it and to see it when people are being rejected, but the same natural painkillers that help us when we feel physical pain are also released in the brain when we're rejected. So in other words, God built us in a way to try and ease that pain. Isn't that interesting? When we see rejection, he put something in our brains that is like a natural painkiller that comes in. There was a study that showed when people were rejected, they gave them Tylenol, and they did better at dealing with their pain from the Tylenol. And it has to do with the same pathway that's activated in the brain. I thought that was fascinating. So here today we want to talk about bouncing back from rejection and handling it in a way that honors God and does bring healing in our lives, and because all of us have faced this pain. And some of you listening may be going through some kind of rejection right now. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe you're going through a family problem. Maybe you have a job loss or a friendship problem. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to help you and give you some tips as well.
You know, Dr. Linda, we always go this route on the show because you've given us so much emotional advice and how emotions affect our health. Does rejection impact us that way too?
We think so. There's some evidence that it might begin the inflammatory process in the body and then lead to depression in some people. I don't know what you know about inflammation, Chris, but it's kind of a buzzword in health today because we think a lot of things are the result of inflammation. When people get depressed, if it activates that inflammation, which is not a good thing in our body, it does create damage to the physical body. We think that depression is also activated by rejection as well. Think about the rejection people feel even with cyberbullying. We haven't even mentioned that. There's a lot of studies that have linked depression and other negative results from cyberbullying. Rejection can set off some really negative physical processes if we don't handle it well.
Why is it so hard to handle it well? We know it's going on, and we know it's going to happen, but yet we still are so devastated when we feel rejection.
One of the reasons is because we can relive and re-experience social pain more than we can physical pain. If I ask you, I say, remember a time when you were in physical pain? Mm-hmm. And I tell you right now, and I say, okay, Chris, try to recreate it. Try to feel that pain, that physical pain. Can you do it?
Not really, no.
Can't do that. You can't do that with physical pain. But try reliving a painful rejection. What happens when you do that is that you're flooded with many of the same feelings that you had at the time you're rejected. I can sometimes recall that instantly. Can you?
Yeah.
If something triggers a rejection in me, I can feel that pain from before. Do you ever have that experience?
Yes, I've had that conversation with myself. You'll be going down the road and replay it in your mind and get yourself all wound up and anxious.
Yeah.
Then you say to yourself, wait, Chris, that was years ago.
Yeah, but what's happening is that your brain prioritizes rejection experiences and then it remembers them. And that's why they're so difficult.
And that's probably why the physical attributes to a rejection and then your brain remembers them so well, that makes it so powerful.
It does. Rejection destabilizes that need to belong that we all feel. We all have this fundamental need to belong to a group, to someone. And when we get rejected, this need becomes tough and the disconnection we feel adds to our emotional pain. That's why it's so important to reconnect with those people who do love us and to reach out to members of our friends or our groups to which we feel that we are valued and accepted, because we need some help with that soothing of that pain. The worst thing you can do when you're rejected is get isolated, stay alone, try to get away from people, even though that's exactly what we feel like we want to
exactly,
do.
Right.
But it just creates more feelings of rejection and it doesn't go anywhere.
That's why the church is so important and why people feel loved when they go through rejection. It's when others come around and support them. And like you said a minute ago, isolation will not help when you feel rejected.
We can't overemphasize that enough. That's why we need each other and the body of Christ to remind ourselves that we're not alone. And that's what Jesus does for us. He reminds us that we're not alone and that we're deeply loved.
So many of us get angry when we're rejected.
I know.
And aggressive.
There's these surges of anger and rejection. You know what? Let's talk about that when we come back, because that's important. It's good to remind yourself that you're loved and valued. But we also do have this rise of anger that comes up.
We're just getting started, and we have more tips on how to handle the pain of rejection. Stay with us more after the break on the Dr. Linda Mitchell Show.
The other day, I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
To check out Dr. Linda's books on weight control, Lose It for Life, Press Pause Before You Eat, Breaking Free from Compulsive Overeating, and Raising Healthy Kids, go to drlindamental.com. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Welcome back. And we want to remind you that Dr. Linda has written a series of small books called Breaking Free. One of those is Breaking Free from Negative Self-Image, which might help when it comes to bouncing back from the pain of rejection, which Dr. Linda is the topic of our program today. But right before the break, we were talking about how rejection and anger go hand in hand.
You know, we all feel really bad, and we made that point, I think, pretty specifically. But we also then have a tendency, once we feel bad, to start having anger rise up in us. There was a Surgeon General report on drugs, poverty, and gang membership that was done in 2001. And what they found was that adolescents who were rejected had more of a tendency to get involved in crime and violence and all kinds of things that were not good. And in fact, they would often take out these feelings of rejection that they had to innocent bystanders. I saw something the other day on the news. A woman was running down the street and pushed this 83-year-old woman over, mowed her down on her way out. And apparently she'd had some big rejection, something that she was really angry about. And this is what they're finding. You hear about school shootings. A lot of times behind the scenes, there's this violence that these students are involved in. But the core of it, Chris, the real root of it is that they've felt rejected by their peer group or other people. So there is a really strong link between rejection and aggression. However, much of that aggression, it comes about because people take that rejection that they feel and they turn it inward on themselves. When they go inward, they become depressed. When they go outward, they tend to hurt other people.
Would you say that kids also feel rejected by their parents and then take that to school?
They can feel rejected, but I think a lot of what we see in the cyberbullying in the school area is a lot of rejection from their friends.
Right.
We've talked about this on other shows. It's so hard for kids to deal with other children putting terrible comments about them that are very rejecting on all that social media. A lot of times we respond in the romantic area this way, where we begin to think, they're making fun of me, but is there something wrong with me? Doesn't it make you think that when people write terrible things about you on social media? Of course, you've never experienced
I'm sure. They have written a few, yes, and you're right. It does affect you emotionally for sure.
It does.
Would you say that we use rejection a lot of times to beat up on ourselves and it can affect our self-esteem?
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of us take it. The people who take it outward, who get aggressive, do it that way. But a lot of times we think, oh, there's something wrong with me. I must not be good enough.
Right.
Maybe I'm a failure. And we kick ourselves when we're already feeling down. And that takes our self-esteem almost to nothing. In a lot of romantic relationships, you don't jive well with that person.
Right.
Or there's no chemistry. Or maybe you have incompatible lifestyles. Or you want different things from that relationship. And you're at different times in your life. Mm. Or there's some other thing going on. But what do we tend to do? We tend to blame ourselves.
It's probably my fault.
Yeah, exactly. And we attack our self-worth, and then we take that rejection and we make it deeper in our lives, and that makes it even harder for us to recover emotionally. It's good to acknowledge you're part of a problem in a relationship, but you have to be careful that you're not saying, I'm all bad and I'm such a horrible person.
You know, it seems like when you try to reason with someone who has been rejected, it typically doesn't work. Have you noticed that?
When somebody tries to talk you out of it,
yeah, they typically,
do you listen to that?
You hate to be so mean about it, but they do get into a pity party type mode.
I don't want somebody reasoning with me.
Right.
Do you want someone reasoning with you when you're feeling bad?
Good point. When you feel that way, no, there's nothing you can say.
That's how you feel. So I think it's almost better at those points to sit with a person and let them feel and let them talk. There was a little experiment that happened that's interesting to talk about. It was a rigged experiment. In this experiment, they had these so-called strangers that the researchers didn't know anything about. What they were told is that these people were rejecting them. These strangers were rejecting them, even though they didn't. And still, even though people were told that the strangers were strangers and they didn't even know them, and they were still so hurt by this experiment, even when they're strangers.
Wow.
They didn't want to deal with the fact that they were rejected. I think that our brain doesn't get rational with this. It does engage the emotional part of our brain, and our rational part kind of goes out the window when we're dealing with this.
That is interesting. Now, we've spelled out rejection and how it makes us feel and what it can do to us physically. You have some good ideas, though, on how we can handle rejection.
Let's talk about that, because what we want is to become resilient. Mm. And resiliency, that's that ability to bounce back from something bad or difficult,
right,
and then grow from it. That's what we all want to do. When we're rejected in any way, we want to say, okay, help me to be resilient with this and bounce back.
People are wired differently, and it seems like if you've got a competitive spirit,
yes,
and you're rejected, you might have a little bit more of a motivation to say, oh, no, that's not how this is going to work. We will fix this.
There are two options when you're rejected. You can decide like that, where you say, you know what? I'm going for it. I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm going to move forward. Or the other side of it is you can really let it bother you. But what we want to do is try to help people minimize the negative effects that being rejected has.
I come from both extremes.
Do you?
Depending on the situation, I'll either wilt or I'll say, no, 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 no.
And do you know what the difference is? Times when you go into yourself and let it affect you in a negative way?
That's the mystery, because no.
There are certain kinds of rejections that bother us more than others. I do think that's true. I think you're making a really good point. Mm-hmm. But here's one of the ways that you can help yourself when you're face to face with rejection. It only takes about 5 or 10 minutes. It's easy to do. What I suggest is that you make a list of 5 qualities that you possess and that the person rejecting you would find valuable, even though they're not telling you this. For instance, if you're dealing with a relationship breakup, you might write down, I'm a good listener. Mm-hmm. I'm emotionally available. I'm kind in my actions, that kind of thing. Then take one of those good qualities and write a paragraph or so about why this quality is important. And would it be meaningful to someone?
And then email it to the person.
No, don't do that. That probably won't change things much. When you do something like that, when you do a little exercise where you take 5 points that are positive about yourself and then you write about it, what you're doing is you're reminding yourself that you do have worth. And that helps when you're immediately rejected by someone or something. And, of course, we're going to remind everybody in the last segment of our show where our true worth comes from.
We saw that lampooned on Saturday Night Live. I forgot the character's name, but he would stand in front of the mirror and say, I'm smart, I'm attractive, and people like me.
Well, I can't remember the name of that character, but yeah.
But he went through that process of reminding himself that he was worth something. They made fun of it, but it's sort of a good point.
So Saturday Night Live, good for therapeutic ends? Not so much. Here's another thing that you can do. You can remind yourself that it's not all about you. This is helpful.
It's not all about me?
I know. When you feel rejected, you think it is all about you, right? And that you're worthless and not lovable. If you think about what's going on with the other person, maybe they're having problems. Mm. Maybe this is something they're directing at you, but it's really their issue and they're taking it out on you.
They're projecting.
Yes. Oh, very good. Very good. That's what happens when we do the show after a while, right? I can think of a situation in which someone was rejected, but it was about the ambition of the other person. It wasn't about that person himself. And I think if you remind yourself, that really does help you, that it may not be about you.
Well, how do you put yourself through the right thinking when you've just felt that sting of rejection?
It's almost like a renewing of your mind that Scripture talks about. Things that happen to you are not things that define you as a person. You have to think about that. And for a lot of people listening, they've heard a lot of negative things from parents growing up. I've worked with so many people where their parents told them they were a loser, they were a terrible person, they're never going to be anything in life. When you've had those messages, you need to counter those messages with something that is true based on the Word of God. And again, we'll get into that in a little bit more in a few minutes.
Today's topic on the Dr. Linda Mental Show is the pain of rejection. And we will discuss more when we come back right after this. Hey folks, Chris Weigel here to let you know Dr. Linda's on Instagram. Follow her at Dr. Linda Mental.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
There's no doubt about it. We are definitely living in the text, Twitter, and email age. The handwritten note has become quite the relic. But just because we don't write much with pen and paper anymore doesn't mean we should forsake the kind and encouraging message. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I want to encourage you to share a kind word. Even if it's a text, the power of telling a friend you're thinking of them, complimenting a success, or just saying, hey, hang in there, can make all the difference. If you've ever had your day interrupted by just a quick but genuine message from someone close, you know how a thought can raise your spirits, rejuvenate your mind, or help you stick on a difficult path because someone just cares. While you're listening right now, someone may come to mind, someone you can encourage with a few words. Take a minute and text, tweet, or email that person. Tell them you value them and the part they play in your life. It just might change their whole day.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. If you need help with facing rejection, Dr. Linda has written a helpful book. It's called Breaking Free from Negative Self-Image, and that is available online. Dr. Linda, today, discussing the pain of rejection. It's so hard to experience rejection, but this is when we have to watch ourselves because we need to make sure that our reactions are godly.
That is hard because a lot of times we want to lash out when we've been rejected. Mm-hmm. We want to be very negative towards that person. We want to say terrible things about them to make ourselves feel better. We have to resist that if we have Christ in us. And Christ always reminds us, at least I see this over and over when I read his word, is that we can choose love. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful force that does disarm people. So when you've been rejected and you come back at that person with love, it's very disarming for people. And that requires us to forgive that person and then release that person to the judgment of God, not to our judgment. That's a process for a lot of us. It's not something that happens overnight.
I don't do this program to come in here and be convicted like this.
I'm talking to myself as well because I've had that part about releasing them to the judgment of God. Mm-hmm. That is always such a tough part for me. I'm usually good at forgiving people, but there's a part of me that wants them to get theirs. Do you experience that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing about rejection, and this just occurred to me, that it's such an affront to our pride. When you put a hurt pride in the mix, mm-hmm. that can become a spiritual struggle. And that's why it is hard to focus on making a godly reaction first.
I think you've made such a great point because it's our pride that keeps us from forgiving. It's our pride that keeps us from surrendering to mm-hmm. God and saying, you deal with that person. I think it does help if you can find somebody in the middle of all that you trust. And you can use them as a sounding board. That does help you get perspective. Other people can serve as a reality test for you when you're going through rejection. Because what you can do is you can ask them, am I overreacting? Or does this make any sense to you? And when mm-hmm. you get other perspectives, it can be very helpful. The support of other believers. What people do for me is they draw me back to the Bible. And the importance of the power of God's word in our lives and God's care for me, his love for me. That is so critical. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, I don't have anyone in my life, I don't have anybody I connect with, you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, first mm-hmm. of all, who will help heal that pain. And then get yourself in a church where you can be around other believers because they will remind you on a constant basis that you have value and you have worth because God loves you. And I think that is so critical to healing mm-hmm. the wounds that come with rejection.
You know, getting into the Word, obviously, very important. Develop a relationship with Christ. There are examples in the Bible of people who felt rejection firsthand. Noah in Genesis.
Yeah, can you imagine? He's going around telling everybody's building this huge ark.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure there were very few people looking at him going, great idea. This is going to be wonderful.
And then the building inspectors came by and had to put up with those guys. Yeah. Then you've got Leah, Rachel's sister and Laban's daughter, who was given under false pretense to Jacob, who always loved Rachel more.
That story is something because mm-hmm. you're marrying him knowing that he loves your sister and he doesn't want to be with you.
That makes for a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They didn't have Thanksgiving back in the Bible yet. A great Passover.
Right, Passover. Then Joseph as well. I mean, his entire family, all of his brothers.
So we've got the community laughing at Noah, and then we've got this horrible love relationship rejection in the Bible.
Right.
And then Joseph is a great example of when family rejects you.
Hmm.
So I also was thinking, Chris, what about the New Testament? Stephen, he was the first martyr mm-hmm. and he was rejected. Here's an example of someone being rejected for their faith and believing in Jesus. And he was killed as mm-hmm. a result of that.
And then look what the fear of rejection does. Peter standing around with some fellow Jews. Hey, do you know this Jesus? Well, no.
Yeah, never saw him, never knew him, did it three times. Even when Jesus predicted that for him, that's how powerful rejection can be in our lives.
It is powerful. How do we overcome when you've been rejected?
We talked a little bit about it, to focus on your identity in Christ and work on that, the way God feels about you, how Christ loves you and cares for you, and he will never reject you or abandon you. And that is such good news. And then focus on the character of God. Is he trustworthy? Is he always going to be there for you? Is he a present help in time of trouble, which is what the scripture says? Focus on his intentions towards you. He always tells us that he wants us to grow through pain. And then begin to think about solutions rather than getting all wound up in the problem. Mm. We've got a few minutes left, and let's look at the best example of rejection, which was Jesus. He was rejected by everyone, and for all kinds of reasons. He experienced numerous rejections through his life and then again at the end at the cross. So let me just read a portion of Isaiah 53 because it describes the rejection of Christ so beautifully. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off of the land of the living for the transgressions of the people. There's so much in Scripture that talks about the transgressions and the pain that Jesus took for us. He took all of our pain of rejection on himself. He knows what it feels like. He's acquainted with our grief. I find that amazing that he would do that for you and me. He knows more about it because he felt it. He was spit on. He was rejected. He was abused. He was despised. He was laughed at. It's humbling.
It is. It's humbling to think of the pain that he suffered so we would be comforted in our suffering. And he gives us the hope that one day all that sorrow and pain will be gone.
So if you want to get a sense of the rejection and pain Jesus experienced, I suggest you watch The Passion, the movie. It is what is so amazing about having a relationship with a God who became fully man to experience our pain and then to take it to the cross to give us his life. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? If you need healing from the pain of rejection, take it to the one who knows that pain and can make you whole. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our social media director, Cody Gokenhauer, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mental Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.